Chunadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama harinama harinamaiva kivalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata. We are here to learn the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila Chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya in 5 features. We left off on text number 120. Where we are in this chapter, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been requested by the Mayavadi sannyasis, headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, to speak on Vedanta, because Lord Chaitanya, earlier in the discussion, explained his Harinam Diksha, where Ishwara Puri told him not to study the Vedanta Sutra, but to simply chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So after they heard from him the story of his initiation, and after Lord Chaitanya explained his perfection, how by simply chanting Hare Krishna, obeying his spiritial master, when he went back to his spiritual master, explaining that he was experiencing different bodily transformations, Ishwara Puri pointed out that he had achieved perfection in chanting because he chanted without offense. But even after perfection, Lord Chaitanya was instructed by Ishwara Puri, you continue to chant in the association of devotees and preach the value of this Krishna Nam, the holy name of Krishna. So after hearing all of this, Prakashananda Saraswati wanted to find out from him what's wrong with Vedanta. And Lord Chaitanya said, oh, I know Vedanta very well. And if you like, I can explain. Yes, they wanted to hear the actual explanation of Vedanta as opposed to Shankaracharya's imagined explanation of Vedanta. So we're picking up on text number 120. All in favor say Hari Bol. So Lord Chaitanya is speaking. The Mayavad philosophy is so degraded that it has taken the insignificant living entities to be the Lord, the Supreme Truth, thus covering the glory and supremacy of the Absolute Truth with monism. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments in this connection that in all Vedic scriptures, the jiva tattva, the truth of the living entities, is mentioned to be one of the energies of the Lord. Batuk, is that also stated in Bhagavad Gita? And you know what chapter that's mentioned? 7th chapter. Aparayam itastvanyang prakritiṃ vidime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. If one does not accept the living entity to be a minute infinitesimal spark of the Supreme, but equates the jiva tattva with the Supreme Brahman or Supreme Personality of Godhead, it must be understood that his entire philosophy is based on a misunderstanding. Unfortunately, Sripad Shankaracharya purposely claimed the jiva tattva or living entities to be equal to the Supreme God. And that was previously mentioned. Lord Shiva, as Shankaracharya, did that on whose order? Krishna, Vishnu's order. In order to reestablish the authority of the Vedas that somebody had defied. Who defied the authority of the Vedas prior to Shankaracharya appearance? Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha. And the reason Lord Buddha did that was because the people early in the age of Kali, under the guidance of the Brahmin caste who had become fallen, they were indiscriminately killing animals and thinking it was okay. Lord Buddha came simply to stop the needless killing of animals. In order to do that, he had to blaspheme by saying, don't follow Vedas. Just as if a president or a judge were to say, we're not going to follow the law anymore. Just do what I say. That's called a dictator. And we see that happening in some countries now in the world, Venezuela and other places. So that's exactly what Lord Buddha did. How are we doing there, boss? Okay. Very good. So, after Buddha, Krishna sent Shankaracharya to reestablish the authority of the Vedas. In order to do that, we just heard. Unfortunately, Sripad Shankaracharya purposely claimed the Jiva Tattva are living entities to be equal to the Supreme God. Therefore, his entire philosophy is based on a misunderstanding, and it misguides people to become atheists whose mission is life is unfulfilled. The mission of human life, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, is to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and become his devotee. The verse Prabhupada is referring to, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Masuchaha. But the Mayavad philosophy misleads one to defy the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and pose oneself as the Supreme Lord. Thus, it has misguided hundreds of thousands of innocent men. In the Vedanta Sutra, Vyasadeva has described that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is potent and that everything material or spiritual is but an emanation of his energy. Bhatuk, can I see that same thing in Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Aham savasya prabhavo mattak sarvam pravartate. There's one verse, and there are other verses as well. The Lord, the Supreme Brahman, is the origin or source of everything, janmadyasya yataha. Now that line, janmadyasya yataha, is the opening shloka of Bhagavatam, and it's the second shloka of Vedanta Sutra. And all other manifestations are emanations of different energies of the Lord. This is also confirmed in the Vishnu Puran. Ekadesha statas yagner jyotsna vistarani yata parasya brahmana shaktis tatedam akilam jagat. Whatever we see in this world is simply an expansion of different energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is exactly like a fire that spreads illumination for a long distance, although it is situated in one place. So, here is something that you can meditate on. There are examples in these Vedic literatures which you can use as meditation. contemplation. You memorize this verse, and then whenever you see a fire, this verse will immediately come to mind. I'll give you another example. When my daughter woke me up on 9/11/01 and said, "Turn on the television," I saw the second plane hit the tower, and then within a matter of moments, I saw the building tumble down. And immediately, I was reminded of several verses in Bhagavad Gita, but also that verse from Govinda Das, Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala, that this life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. So this material world is a temporary place of, according to Bhagavad Gita, temporary place of misery. Dukhalayam Ashaswatam. Yes. The atheist thinks, no, it's a temporary place of enjoyment. But that is fool's paradise. Krishna says, Dukhalayam Ashaswatam. Let's go back to the purport. This is a very vivid example. Similarly, it is stated that just as everything in the material world exists in the sunshine, which is the energy of the sun, so everything exists on the basis of the spiritual and material energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, although Krishna is situated in his own abode, Goloka Eva Nivisatya Kilatma Bhuta, from the Brahma Sanhita, where he enjoys his transcendental pastimes with the cowherd boys and gopis, he is nevertheless present everywhere, even within the atoms of this universe. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastam, which is also from the Brahma Sanhita. This is the verdict of the Vedic literature. Unfortunately, the Mayavad philosophy, misguiding people by claiming the living entity to be the Lord, has created havoc throughout the entire world and led almost everyone to godlessness. By thus covering the glories of the Supreme Lord, Mayavadi philosophers have done the greatest disservice to human society. It is to counteract these most abominable activities of the Mayavadi philosophers that Lord Chaitanya has introduced the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatir Anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. People should simply engage in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, for thus they will gradually come to understand that they are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as they have been taught by the Mayavadi philosophers, but are eternal servants of the Lord. As soon as one engages himself in the transcendental service of the Lord, he becomes free. Mang chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman, from the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement is the only light for the foolish living entities who think either that there is no God, or that if God exists, he is formless, and that they themselves are also God. These misconceptions are very dangerous, and the only way to counteract them is to spread the Hare Krishna movement. And as was discussed in the previous class, it's not that you have to wait until you become perfect in self-realization. We are in a war, and I'm not talking about Afghanistan or Iraq. We are in the age of Kali, where spiritualism is being attacked and stymied at every step, whereas materialism and atheism is continuously on the rise. Therefore, every one of us, in whatever capacity, pick up a gun and fight. What is that gun? Whatever transcendental knowledge you have realized, at whatever amount that you have already yourself realized, give that to others. Even if it's just to say Hare Krishna, even if it's just to say Hari Bol, whatever you can do to spread Krishna consciousness, please do so. That is Lord Chaitanya's request. Please spread Krishna consciousness. Please chant the Maha Mantra for me, class. Text number 121. In his Vedanta Sutra, Srila Vyasadeva has described that everything is but a transformation of the energy of the Lord. Shankaracharya, however, has misled the world by commenting that Vyasadeva was mistaken. Thus, he has raised great opposition to theism throughout the entire world. So this is a very interesting statement revealed to us by Lord Chaitanya, because this is not something that is very commonly known. This, you're getting the purport of Lord Chaitanya. If you accept that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, then this statement made by Lord Chaitanya, you will immediately accept. So this is very interesting. Shankaracharya said that Vyasadeva was mistaken. Anyone who thinks like this is not following Vedic principles, because our whole Hindu religion is based on Vyasadeva. That whole Guru Purnima starts with Vyasadeva. We call this seat Vyasasan. It's the seat of Vyas. Therefore, if I'm going to sit here, I can't say, I'm sitting on a seat, but he was mistaken. That's called insult. Just like, I cannot claim to be Prabhupada's disciple and then say, oh, but Prabhupada made a mistake here. No, that's not meaning of disciple. Meaning of disciple is obedient.
In this case, he's saying that when you don't follow Vedanta,
right.
Then you have to say that Vyasadeva said it's not correct.
Yes, in order to establish his Mayavad philosophy, he has to say that. He has to say that. But our whole Hindu religion is based on the writings of Vyasadeva. Four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, Mahabharata, which contains Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra, this is all Vyasadeva. The only work that's considered in the Vedas, not written by Vyasadeva, is Valmiki's Ramayana, which is considered fifth Veda. Okay? So, 90% if not more is all the writings of Vyasadeva. All right. Yes. On the order of Krishna. The purpose was Lord Buddha had come and defied the Vedas. So when Shankaracharya came, his mission was re-establish the authority of the Vedas. In order to do that, he made this philosophy that you are one with God. Now, he's Krishna. Yes. Lord Buddha came because the Brahmanas were encouraging the people early in Kali Yuga that it was okay to eat meat indiscriminately. In the Vedas, you're allowed to eat meat once in a month. You have to kill the animal yourself in the temple of Kali, and you chant this mantra, and it's never a cow, goat. You take the goat in your arms and with a knife, and you whisper in the goat's ear, I'm taking your life, but don't be mad. Next life, you can take mine. That's the mantra. That's the mantra. Once a month, not every day McDonald's. Yes. So the idea is, eventually you realize, what am I saying? That each time I'm sacrificing goat, I'm going to have to take a birth, and this is going to happen to me. So eventually you give it up. That is the what the Vedas permit. Not this KFC, all this big Whopper and all this. So in early Kali Yuga, the Brahmins were saying, it's okay. They were sanctioning. So there was rampant animal slaughter. So Buddha came just to stop this aberration. Here is the power of lust. The power of lust is you're so covered by lust, you don't think properly. When you're lusty, when you're too much in this mode of lust, your intelligence is lost. It takes a lot. You were just mentioning it. When someone is addicted to smoking, they know it's bad for them. They know all these things. It says so on the package. But they have no power to stop. So when, if somebody is so much determined to eat meat that they're willing to go through all this, right? It shows you how powerful is lust. Sometimes, that was Arjuna's question in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. If you recall Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, Arjuna's question was, why does someone engage in sinful acts even unwillingly? That's the power of lust. Once you come under the control of lust, we do all kinds of crazy things. Murder, illicit sexual connections. It's all because the lust is very strong. You want to say something? Mamsa, yes.
And it means what you just said, that I'm killing you, so you can kill me.
Yes. Okay? Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh, in one lifetime you could kill five lives.
So you can imagine the people now of Kali Yuga. Yes. Yes, yes. Okay, so can we do the purport? All right. I have a message here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, in the Vedanta Sutra of Srila Vyasadeva, it is definitely stated that all cosmic manifestations result from transformations of various energies of the Lord. Shankaracharya, however, not accepting the energy of the Lord, thinks that it is the Lord who is transformed. He has taken many clear statements from the Vedic literature and twisted them to try to prove that if the Lord or the Absolute Truth were transformed, his oneness would be disturbed. Thus, he has accused Srila Vyasadeva of being mistaken. In developing his philosophy of monism, therefore, he has established Vivartavad, or the Mayavad theory of illusion. So this paragraph here, this is the crux of Shankaracharya's philosophy. This is, like you could say, the building block. If you understand this paragraph that we just read, then you have begun to really grasp the difference between Mayavad philosophy and Vyasadeva's philosophy. I'll break it down in my own words. Vyasadeva says, Krishna, or the Absolute Truth, has energies. These energies transform, namely the material energy. Shankaracharya, because his philosophy is oneness, he cannot have a conception of Purusha and Shakti, because to him, that will be dualism. His philosophy is monism. So starting out with a wrong premise, he says, no, Vyasadeva's mistaken, because Vyasadeva says there is two, Purusha and Shakti. Shankaracharya says, no, there's only one. And if you say that the one can be transformed, that nullifies the concept of oneness. That's the beginning step of Shankaracharya's philosophy. Vyasadeva says, no, there's God and his energies. The energies are transformed. For instance, right now, electrical energy is transformed to cool. In the winter, that same electrical energy is transformed into heat. The energies are transformed. Not that God is transformed. All right, let's continue. In the Brahma Sutra, so that's another synonym for Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra has different names. So here's another name, Brahma Sutra. Second chapter, the first aphorism is as follows. Tad ananyatvam arambhana shabdadibhya. Commenting on this sutra, in his Sharira Kabashya. So that was Shankaracharya's, his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which the Mayavadis accept more than anything. Real Mayavadis only accept this Sharira Kabashya. Shankaracharya has introduced the statement, Vacharam Banan Vikaro Namadeyam, from the Chandogya Upanishad, to try to prove the acceptance of the transformation of the energy of the Supreme Lord is faulty. He has tried to defy this transformation of energy in a misguided way, which will be explained later, since his conception of God is impersonal, he does not believe that the entire cosmic manifestation is a transformation of the energies of the Lord. That's exactly what I was just saying, right? You all can follow along. For as soon as one accepts the various energies of the absolute truth, one must immediately accept the absolute truth to be personal, not impersonal. Because something impersonal cannot have energies. A person can create many things by the transformation of his energy. For example, a businessman transforms his energy by establishing many big factories or business organizations. Take, for example, Krishna Kumar took his money, created his EES, for whom Batuk Sharmaji is employed, right? Or the early developers established this temple with their energy. Yet he remains a person, although his energy has been transformed into these many factories or business concerns. Yes, the Twin Towers was the result of the transformation of many people's energies. The Twin Towers now gone, but many of those people who created the Twin Towers, they're still around, even though the Twin Towers are gone. Yet he remains a person, although his energy has been transformed into these many factories or business concerns. The Mayavadi philosophers do not understand this simple fact. Their tiny brains and poor fund of knowledge cannot afford them sufficient enlightenment to realize that when a man's energy is transformed, the man himself is not transformed, but remains the same person. You may go bankrupt. All right, you went bankrupt, but you're still alive. It's not the end of the world, right? Not believing in the fact that the energy of the absolute truth is transformed, Shankaracharya has propounded this theory of illusion. This theory states that although the absolute truth is never transformed, we think that it is transformed, which is an illusion. Ah, here is number two. Here it is, folks. Now you're getting the second big item of Shankaracharya's philosophy. You're God, you just don't think you're God. You're God, but because you're under illusion, you have forgotten. That's your Leela, God. Your Leela, like Krishna has his Leelas, right? Right? We know so much of Krishna's Leelas. Our Leela is, we have forgotten that we're God. Shankaracharya says, now I'll help you to remember that you're God. This is big. To an unsuspecting audience, if I was to speak this, I could fill up Dodger Stadium. Thousands and thousands of people I could bewilder. You're God! It's just that you have forgotten. Just give me $108 each. And I'll teach you how to again remember that you're God. Thank you, Swami Nirantara. This theory states that although the absolute truth is never transformed, we think that it is transformed, which is an illusion. Shankaracharya does not believe in the transformation of the energy of the absolute truth, for he claims that everything is one, and that the living entity is therefore also one with the Supreme. This is the Mayavad theory. So this is the benefit of taking the time to really try to understand Prabhupada's purports. You got to go slow and take it line by line. But once you get it, your storehouse of transcendental knowledge becomes very full. Srila Vyasadeva has explained that the Absolute Truth is a person who has different potencies. The favorite verse, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shuyate. Merely by his desire that there be creation, and by his glance, Sa Aikshita, he created this material world, Sa Asrajata. See, that we can't do that, can we? But that's what God does. He simply desires something that's also there in the Christian Bible. The Christian Bible has a similar concept that God created the heavens and the earth, and he created in 7 days, they say. On the seventh day, he rested. But the original premise of that Christian Bible is correct, that God, out of himself, created everything. That's correct. Even though it's the Christian Bible, that is absolutely true. Because here, the same thing is there in our Vedas. After creation, he remains the same person. He is not transformed into everything. Those who think that he is, they're called pantheists. A pantheist says, yes, God exists. He's everything you see, but he's lost his individuality because he has become everything. That's called pantheism. I don't know. You mean what's the Vedic name? I don't know. But you see this, it's there. Every culture has it. Oh yes, we believe in God. God is everything. And they try to come off like they're very spiritual. Oh, God is everything. But then if you ask them, is there a separate God? No. God is everything. There's another form of impersonalism. It's another form. It's just another addition. Everything is God. And it sounds so... They want to sound like they're so advanced. Oh, we are above all these religions. We are more advanced. God is everything. You'll hear a lot of these Hollywood types. They're into this kind of thing. God is everything. And they try to be so serene and mellow. God is everything. After creation, he remains the same person. He is not transformed into everything. One should accept that the Lord has inconceivable energies and that it is by his order and will that varieties of manifestations have come into existence. So, this phrase here. One should accept that the Lord has inconceivable energies. That is very fundamental to actually become a full theist. It's called Achintya Shakti. Achintya Shakti. In other words, God can do what we can't do. And for a lot of people, that's a big hurdle. You will meet many people. They may even say they believe in God. But ask them about this. You believe in God, but can he do anything that you can't do? Oh, no. Then their understanding of God is faulty. This is the real point. Yes. Yes. Frog in the well. Exactly, Batuk. Yes. So this point, God has inconceivable energies, then... If you can accept that, now your understanding of God is pakka. Now you have full understanding.
And you have to do that because you cannot explain everything.
Right. One should accept that the Lord has inconceivable energies and that it is by his order and will that varieties of manifestations have come into existence. In the Vedic literature, it is said, Satatvatonyata buddhir vikara it udarita. This mantra indicates that from one fact, another fact is generated. For example, a father is one fact, and a son generated from the Father is the second fact. So you know exactly what Prabhupada's talking about. All of you. You will know exactly. This generation of a second independent truth. Oh, excuse me. I skipped. Let's go back. For example, a father is one fact, and a son generated father is a second fact. Thus, both of them are truths, although one is generated from the other. This generation of a second independent truth from a first truth is called vikar, or transformation resulting in a byproduct. The Supreme Brahman is the absolute truth, and the energies that have emanated from him and are existing separately, such as the living entities and the cosmic manifestation, are also truths. This is an example of transformation, which is called vikar or parinam. To give another example of vikar, milk is truth, but the same milk may be transformed into yogurt. Thus, yogurt is a transformation of milk, although the ingredients of yogurt and milk are the same. That's two good examples. This is where Prabhupada's genius comes from. He gives you examples that really help you to grasp it, especially the second one, milk and yogurt, how to understand the difference between Vishnu and Shiva. That same example is given in the Brahma Samhita. Yogurt is nothing but milk, but at the same time, you cannot use yogurt the same way that you can use milk. And anyone who's done cooking, you know that. If you put yogurt instead of milk, your prep can come out all wrong. And vice versa. And vice versa. It's a different thing. So, Vishnu is milk, and Lord Shiva is yogurt. So that's why Lord Shiva is in his own category, above the living entity. That's why he has his own tattva, Shiva tattva. He's in a unique position. What else can you do?
My next point is, like you said, you cannot use in place of, milk in place of yogurt or yogurt in place of milk.
Yes. That's true. That's true. Oh, very good, Batuk. This is why you are a Brahman. So for the benefit of those on the internet, Batuk has just proven his superior knowledge. And his point is correct. That although yogurt cannot be used in the same sense as milk and vice versa, but Vishnu or Krishna can do what Shiva does. But then again, that's why he's Lord Shiva. In order for him to do that, he has to become Lord Shiva, because by definition, Lord Vishnu never touches the material energy. So when he does, now he's Lord Shiva. But I will give you the dings. Very good, Batuk. That's why we missed you last night. Oh, you were there. All right. Yes, Prabhu. Is everything okay? Okay. In the Chandogya Upanishad, there is the following mantra. Aitad Atmyam Idang Sarvam. This mantra indicates that, without a doubt, the entire world is Brahman. The absolute truth has inconceivable energies, as confirmed in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. There it is. Parashya Shakti Vividhaiva Shriyate. And the entire cosmic manifestation is evidence of these different energies of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is a fact. And therefore, whatever is created by the Supreme Lord is also factual. Everything is true and complete, Purnam. But the original Purnam, the complete absolute truth, always remains the same. Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya. Ishopanishad. The absolute truth is so perfect that although innumerable energies emanate from him and manifest creations which appear to be different from him, he nevertheless maintains his personality. He never deteriorates under any circumstances. It is to be concluded that the entire cosmic manifestation is a transformation of the energy of the Supreme Lord, not of the Supreme Lord or Absolute Truth himself, who always remains the same. The material world and the living entities are transformations of the energy of the Lord, the Absolute Truth, or Brahman, who is the original source. Yes, because the living entity is claimed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as his superior energy. So we should always remember we are energy. We're God's energy. In other words, the absolute truth, Brahman, is the original ingredient, and the other manifestations are transformations of this ingredient. This is also confirmed in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Yato va imani bhutani jayante. This entire cosmic manifestation is made possible by the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, it is indicated that Brahman, the absolute truth, is the original cause, and that the living entities, jivas, and the cosmic manifestations are effects of this cause. The cause being a fact, the effects are also factual. They are not illusion. Shankaracharya says, to think that we are individuals is an illusion. Even though Krishna says at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, never was there a time when I did exist, nor you, nor all these kings, neither in the future shall any of us cease to be. Krishna says that very early. But Shankaracharya says, no, individuality is an illusion. There is no individual, there's only one. The cause being a fact, the effects are also factual. They are not illusion. Shankaracharya has inconsistently tried to prove that it is an illusion to accept the material world and the jivas as byproducts of the Supreme Lord because, in his conception, namely Shankaracharya's conception, the existence of the material world and the jivas is different and separate from the Absolute Truth. With this jugglery of understanding, Mayavadi philosophers have propagated the slogan Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, which declares that the absolute truth is fact, but the cosmic manifestation and the living entities are simply illusions, or that all of them are in fact the absolute truth, and that the material world and the living entities do not separately exist. It is therefore to be concluded that Shankaracharya, in order to present the Supreme Lord, the living entities, and the material nature as indivisible and ignorant, so notice, he says the Supreme Lord, the living entities, and material nature are indivisible and ignorant. Wow. Grasp what Shankaracharya is saying there. Tries to cover the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He maintains that the material cosmic manifestation is mithya, or false. But this is a great blunder. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a fact, how can his creation be false? Even in ordinary dealings, one cannot think that the material cosmic manifestation to be false. Therefore, Vaishnava philosophers say that the cosmic manifestation is not false, but temporary. It is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but since it is wonderfully created by the energy of the Lord, to say that it is false is blasphemous. Prabhupada gives an example. Here's an understanding of something false. The horns of a rabbit. Do rabbits have horns? No, that's false. Or to say, will be another example. Milk of a turtle. Can you get milk from a turtle? Can you? No, that's false. So there's a difference between false and illusion. A dream, while it was there, you experienced it. You can't say it was false. When you were in the dream, being attacked by a tiger, you felt and saw that experience. Now when you woke up, you realized, oh, it was a dream. You cannot say it was false. It existed within your mind. You experienced it. No, but it was on the subtle plane. We only accept gross things. Have you become a gross materialist?
What I'm saying is that sometimes this is the word mithya, false, and illusion. They are using it interchangeably.
Yes, but now we have to be very clear. Because there is a difference between the two. There is a difference.
I think his Shankaracharya's definition of mithya means that it's not, if something is not eternal, it's mithya.
Yes. But then the rest of his whole thing, because he's saying Krishna is false. Is Krishna false?
They don't believe in false.
I know. Yes. Non-devotees factually appreciate the wonderful creation of material nature, but they cannot appreciate the intelligence and energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is behind this material creation. Sripad Ramanujacharya, however, refers to a sutra from the Aitareya Upanishad, Atma va idang agra asit, which points out that the Supreme Atma, the Absolute Truth, existed before the creation. One may argue, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely spiritual, how is it possible for Him to be the origin of creation and have within Himself both material and spiritual energies? To answer this challenge, Sripad Ramanujacharya quotes a mantra from the Taittiriya Upanishad that states, Yato va imani bhutani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhivasang vasanti. This mantra confirms that the entire cosmic manifestation emanates from the Absolute Truth, rests upon the Absolute Truth, and after annihilation again re-enters the body of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We say that, right? When the entire cosmic manifestation is finished, it enters into the body of Mahavishnu. This, what was just stated, this is a definition of the Absolute Truth. That which comes from, that which rests on, and at the end enters into, that's Absolute Truth. Everything comes from it. Everything rests on it, and in the end, everything will again enter. That's Absolute Truth. The living entity is originally spiritual, and when he enters the spiritual world or the body of the Supreme Lord, he still retains his identity as an individual soul. Because many people think, oh, upon liberation, I become one with the God. But notice what is being stated here. When he enters the spiritual world, he still retains his identity as an individual soul. In this connection, Sripad Ramanujacharya gives the example that when a green bird enters a green tree, it does not become one with the tree. It retains its identity as a bird, although it appears to merge with the greenness of the tree. In other words, from a distance, you may not be able to distinguish the green bird from the tree. But if you get close enough, then you say, oh, one time I was chanting in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and I had to chant in the nighttime because we were doing 24-hour kirtan. So I was doing japa, like 1 o'clock in the morning, walking around. So I'm chanting. All of a sudden, I turn, and there's an owl. It was just like right there. But you didn't recognize it at first because it just was part of the scenery of the temple. Because the temple has a courtyard that's open air. So I'm chanting japa, and all of a sudden, there's this owl. You know how owls are. So this example of the green bird, from a distance, it just looks like one big green. You get close and, oh, there's the bird, there's flowers. You see so much variety. To give it another example, an animal that enters a forest keeps its individuality, although apparently the beast merges with the forest. There are even some animals, they have that ability to camouflage themselves so that they can attack and not be discovered, right? Yes, yes. Similarly, in material existence, both the material energy and the living entities of the marginal potency maintain their individuality. Thus, although the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead interact with the cosmic manifestation, each keeps its separate individual existence. Merging with the material or spiritual entity energies, I'll say that again, merging with the material or spiritual energies, therefore, does not involve loss of individuality. Prabhupada, when I repeat it, I'll go up further in the paragraph, when he enters the spiritual world or the body of the Supreme Lord, that's merging. So you, and he says, you still remain your identity. So even though you have merged either with the Brahma Jyoti or into Krishna's body, you think you're one, but you still have your individuality. There's no time that you can ever not be an individual. The best you can do is think that you're not. You can't go any further. You're eternally jiva. You're eternally an individual. There's a big difference. To think something is not the same as being something. No argument there, Mr. Brahman?
This one is fine, but the other philosophy, Shankaracharya philosophy, they give us example of all these rivers entering into the ocean.
Yes.
If you take ocean water, can you separate this from this river, this water from this river?
No. Yes. Yeah, that's what they say. But that analogy is weak because it really doesn't happen that way. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, no. What the example you give, yes, Prabhupada deals with that. And that's what Prabhupada says. Yes, they give that, but that analogy is not strong enough. It's not strong enough. Anyway, what can you do? Let's finish up. Thus, although the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead interact within the cosmic manifestation, each keeps its separate individual existence. Merging with the material or spiritual energies, therefore, does not involve loss of individuality. According to Sripad Ramanuja's theory of Vishishtadvaita, Although all of the energies of the Lord are one, each keeps its individuality, vaishishtya. Shankara, Shripad Shankaracharya has tried to mislead the readers of the Vedanta Sutra by misinterpreting the words ananda mayo vyasat. And he has even tried to find fault with Vyasadeva, which we studied at the beginning of today's class. All the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra need not be examined here. However, since we intend to present the Vedanta Sutra in a separate volume, unfortunately, Prabhupada did not live long enough for him to do that. That would have been great. If Prabhupada had done his Bhaktivedanta explanation of Vedantas, that would have been amazing. And I would surmise, most likely, he would have done an explanation of Baladev Vidyabhushan's, because he is the only commentary of the Vedanta Sutra by a Gaudiya Vaishnava, is Baladev Vidyabhushan's. And you'll notice Prabhupada dedicated his Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyabhushan. And his bhasha is called Govinda bhasha. In other words, it was spoken to him directly by Krishna. Even still, I tried to read that. It's not so easy. It's not easy. Batukji, shall we do a kirtan? All right. Let me get my... You play harmonium? I'm going to play my drum here. Okay? Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. Pada Ki. So it'll be the same key as you were last time. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. La Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Harai Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Bolo. Thank you very much.